Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. Christ addressing the ecclesia at Laodicea. I know your deeds. I know your deeds. Revelation 3 and verse 15. How often the Lord Jesus says this to these churches. Here he is saying it to Laodicea. But look at chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 8. And it's implied elsewhere, too, throughout these letters. Christ says that he knows, he sees the actions, the deeds of these churches. I know your deeds, Laodicea. It doesn't say, I'm very interested in your programs. I make a great study of your proposals. I'm studying and thinking about your aspirations. I listen to your words. I listen to the meetings you have when you pass resolutions for these things. I know your works. I know your actions. I know your deeds. I know your actual accomplishments. Now, works is a very important subject, the subject of works in Scripture. But we must be careful. We do not work, brother and sister, for our justification. Unbeliever, there are no works that you can accomplish to put yourself right with God. Christ has done all the works, and Christ alone, with his perfect righteousness, his life, his death, his blood, his righteousness, his resurrection, ascension, and his coming again, the whole person, the whole merit, the whole work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his work alone, can save. Thy work alone, O Christ. Not mine, not my rites, ceremonies, observations, and all the rest of it. No, no, no. None of these observances, none of this. No, no. It's what Christ is and what Christ has done. Brother and sister, we have not worked for our justification. Christ has done the work. But having been justified by faith, being united to Christ, now we work out that justification in progressive sanctification. And there our works do come in. We don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. I know your works. I know your deeds. This is talking not about salvation, but about service. And how the New Testament, particularly, but the whole Bible, is full of this. 1 John 3:18. We must love, not only in word and all the rest of it, but in action, in deed, in truth. John 13:34-35. Love one another. By this shall all men know that you love one another. And love, 1 John 3:18, must be in action and in truth. Now this love, this demonstration of love, is primarily within the ecclesia, Galatians 6:10, the family of believers. But of course it stretches out to show kindness and love and affection and grace towards the unbeliever, the outsider. But not for evangelism, that's not the primary motive here, but for Christ. And that leads me to say this, my works must be for Christ, do all for the glory of God. I can work for self. I can say it's for Christ, but I can be working for self, for self-gratification, for self-promotion. I can be doing it for others, for their good opinion, in the eyes of men. I must do all, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Do all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Bringing up the children, running the home, managing the family, ecclesia life, family life, recreation, business life, whatever. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Honor God with your body. Romans 12:1-2. Romans 6, verse 13. Present your bodies, your members, unto God This is spiritual worship. By the mercies of God, let us present ourselves as servants of God to please him in our actions, as well as our words, as well as our thoughts, but in our actions. That's what Christ is saying here. I know your deeds. I know them. I see them. I understand them. Does he say to me, does he say to you, brother and sister, does he say, I love what you're doing? I appreciate what you're doing. I'm delighted with it. Now there's a hint here. I'll just leave the hint here. There is more to come at Laodicea. I know your deeds. That. There's a fly in this ointment. And that takes us to another discourse. In this discourse, it's the emphasis upon deeds and not mere words. But there's certainly more to come. I know your deeds, that you are. Then comes the solemn thought. But I leave this discourse with a hymn by Francis Ridley Havergal. Now, this is ever so easy to read. It's even easier to sing. It's the doing of it. And I rebuke myself. I point the finger at myself when I sing this hymn. Who has attained to it? Did Frances Ridley Havergal attain to it? But surely it was her aspiration. May it be ours, brother and sister. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet, and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice, and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips, and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect, and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will, and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever, wholly, all for thee. Christ says to me, he says to you, brother, he says to you, sister, he says to you, unbeliever, I know your deeds, and there is more to come. What does he see? Unbeliever, does he see you bowing the knee, calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself to be saved? Brother and sister, I speak to myself as well. Does he see us? Does he see you living for the glory of God in all we say and do and think? May it be so. Amen.